The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you are dealing with any kind of loss in your life, no matter how insignificant, you are experiencing some sort of pain. Did you know that over time, that pain can become joy? It may sound odd, but listen on. This is Healing from Loss with Brenda B. We'll help you find the silver lining that takes you from where you are now to where you need to be to move forward. Now, here is host Brenda Blindenbaugh and co-host Monique McDonald.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. and my co-host, Monique McDonald. I want to remind my listeners to visit www.wealthyhealers.com to receive the free audio on Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. You can also find me on Facebook at www.wealthyhealers.com/FB. And my Twitter handle is www.wealthyhealers.com/Twitter. Good morning, Monique. How are you?
Good morning, Brenda. I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to today's call. What are you going to be covering today?
We're going to be talking about balancing your chakras, the third eye, and the crown chakra healing.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you. So the sixth chakra is the third eye chakra and is directly related to the pineal gland. The pineal gland, no larger than a pea, sits within the center of the brain. It's the only part of the brain not separated from the body by the blood-brain barrier. Once the third eye is open and active, the crown chakra is easy to open. In Sanskrit, the brow chakra is called Agnya, which translated literally means command. It is from here that the other chakras are guided. This center is the gateway to other realms. The element is light, the color is indigo, the mantra is Om. Even though you can't see the third eye, it is very open to energy directed towards it. Opening the third eye is a major step in raising consciousness. The sixth and the seventh chakra work in partnership. The word that captures the function of the third eye chakra is insight or inner sight. It's like remembering something that you've always known. Many believe the abilities that the pineal gland offers comes from its ability to naturally produce its own DMT. Which stands for dimethyltryptamine, a psychedelic drug. This allows the individual to be in constant visionary state most of the time, tapping into these extra special senses. DMT is widespread throughout the plant kingdom. It occurs in trace amounts in mammals, including humans, where it functions as a trace amine neurotransmitter. DMT is a totally natural substance that the human body will manufacture and distribute when it's in a healed state. We human beings were intended to be visionary beings, able to tap into information in other dimensions, allowing it to guide us through this cosmic journey we call life. It allows us to transcend the ego and realize that we are one consciousness, giving us the opportunity to rapidly heal our sufferings and conflicts. We come into this life with all the answers to our questions and life's challenges. It may show up somewhere outwardly, but it's you who's reflecting your truth back to yourself, because it's within you. It's your blueprint. Insight also means linking perception with understanding, and it's the highest level of intuition. When the brow chakra is in balance, it allows you to see clearly, letting you see the big picture. Your intuition is not based on anything analytic or intellectual. It's a deep sense of knowing, a sense of discernment, and following the spiritual guidance you receive. So we want to use this information that we get from the third eye in conjunction with our intellect, because it's the intellect that ultimately makes the decisions. The third eye influences, guides, and directs the intellect for its highest good. Everyone is intuitive. However, the question is, how much are we trusting that intuition? Are we receiving it? Do we get them, this intuition, and then don't listen to the promptings we receive? Do we trust or question, or maybe defer to others by asking them their opinion? Which is really, you know, we're not trusting our intuition. Not only do you need to be open to what you receive, but you need to trust it when it speaks to you. The pineal gland releases melatonin, a powerful antioxidant that fights free radicals that damage neurons. It controls our sleep and wake cycle. The pineal gland creates more of the antioxidant at night, in the absence of light, which helps to dictate our sleeping patterns. So a key thing to remember about the pineal gland is that it's very sensitive to light. It needs pure darkness to emit melatonin. So I recommend wearing an eye mask at night before going to bed. I've done this for years and years and years. Because, you know, we do have a little bits of light coming into our room through all kinds of these apparatus that we have. You know, the telephone, if you have or your cell phone or whatever. So when your third eye chakra is closed, you feel disconnected from your intuition and you don't feel like you have any intuition. When it's open, your intuition is your constant guide that you trust. When it's closed, you feel lost when it comes to, you know, your spiritual purpose and, you know, your path in life. When it's open, you have a strong sense of your own inner truth, and you listen and follow it as it guides you in your life's path. When it's closed, you get headaches and feel tension in your brow area often. When it's open, you act in confidence based on your intuition. Monique, can you share some examples maybe as how tapping into your intuition has served you?
Well, I have, I think my intuition honing has gotten stronger and stronger over the years, and now I guess it's just with practice, I'm able to, intuition for me comes in like a thought, just like other thoughts, except there's a part of me that can tell when it's a thought coming from my mind or if it's a thought that is coming from someplace else, which I would call intuition. So I think it's been with practice that I can, you know, that I've been able to tell the difference between the two, and I use that now all the time to guide me. I just know if I'm putting something out there, if I'm asking for something, that when the thought comes in, I can tell if it's intuition that's guiding me. And the way I practiced it was by practicing it, right? I tried it and I would see how the results were. And then looking back, I found that whenever I followed that, it always seemed to turn out better than if I followed my own mind.
That's right. Would you say, Monique, that it's something like a knowing, you know, some an inner knowing that makes you tell the difference between whether it's, you know, just coming from data or not?
Yeah, it's, I use that word, that I know, or I know with a capital K.
Yes.
And yes, that's exactly what it is. It's really hard to describe, isn't it, to other people, but when you have the experience, you know.
Yeah, yes, there are no ways.
That is always the
yeah,
word that comes
exactly.
up.
There are
you know,
no
it's
ways.
It's interesting, Brenda, with the third eye, what you mentioned, because I have noticed that any time I cover that area of my forehead, I get a terrible headache. And I was at a camp once, and it was sunny, and I had a sort of a hat on with a brim, and I just get a terrible headache. And a woman that was there was a healer and a seer, and she said to me, it's because you're covering your third eye. Take that off, and your headache will go away. And I took it off, and my headache went away right away.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? Yes. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Monique. So here are some of the physical dysfunctions: brain tumors, strokes, blindness, deafness, seizures, learning disabilities, spinal dysfunctions, panic and depression. The pineal gland is dormant in most people. The French philosopher René Descartes believed the pineal gland to be the seat of the soul, where the mind and the body meet. The pineal gland is like a magnet to sodium fluoride. This calcifies the gland and makes it no longer effective in balancing the entire hormonal processes through the body. Sodium fluoride is in most municipal water in North America. I'm happy to say that it's not in the water supply in Vancouver and the lower mainland in BC. Hooray! Fluoride has been added to the water since the 1950s as a measure for reducing tooth decay. In the late 90s, a scientist by the name of Jennifer Luke carried out the first study on the effects of sodium fluoride on the pineal gland. She determined that the pineal gland was a target for fluoride. The pineal gland simply absorbed more fluoride than any other physical part, you know, in the body, even bones. Sodium fluoride is used in most toothpastes, mouthwashes, dental varnish, dental preparations, and nutritional supplements. This same form of fluoride is used as an insecticide and pesticide, as a preservative in glues, as a growth inhibitor for bacteria, fungi, and mold. It's found in our food and beverages. Various research studies have proved sodium fluoride goes to the most important gland in the brain, which is the pineal gland. So, you know, can we decalcify the pineal gland? And how does one do that? The answer, of course, is yes, we can. The key to stopping further calcification of your pineal gland is to first identify what causes calcification, and secondly, to stop those sources. Generally speaking, it's the food, drink, and lifestyle that causes calcification. The primary causes of calcification are fluoride, chlorine, and bromide. They all seem to have similar effects on the pineal gland, so it's important to remove these from your diet. Fluoride is the most common way and is widespread in our diets. It is magnetically attracted to the pineal gland, more so than any other part of the body. Here it forms calcium phosphate crystals, which accumulate. As I said, fluoride is present in toothpastes and tap water. It's a heavy-duty poison and should be avoided at all costs, as it calcifies the pineal tissue and basically shuts the gland down. Switch to a fluoride-free toothpaste and drink water free from sodium fluoride. That's the first thing. Mercury is very bad for the pineal gland due to its poisonous nature. It should be avoided at all costs. Mercury tooth fillings are pineal toxins. The next thing you can do is avoid eating fish that are bottom feeders, such as shrimp and prawns. So at least keep it to a minimum. I love shrimp and prawns, but I only have it occasionally. Tuna and dolphin meat is particularly bad as it contains higher doses of mercury. Generally speaking, the bigger the fish, the higher concentration of mercury in its body tissue. Another way is eco light bulbs should be used with care. And if one is smashed, mercury vapor is released into the room and inhaled. The good news is that mercury can be removed from the body by the daily use of chlorella, wheatgrass, and spirulina. However, it does take time. Cilantro herb taken daily can help remove mercury from brain tissue as well. So I use it all the time in my salads, all the time. The next step, here's another way, you know, to remove this existing calcification in your pineal gland. Now, maybe you're not familiar with this, but tamarind, originally indigenous to Africa, but migrated into India and Southeast Asia, has been used medicinally in Ayurvedic medicine. The pulp, bark, and leaves from the tree can be converted to teas and strong tinctures, which have also shown the ability to eliminate fluoride through the urine. Raw cacao, or raw organic chocolate in its purest form can help detoxify the pineal gland because of cacao's high antioxidant content. Cacao will also help stimulate the third eye. Another way is chlorophyll-rich superfoods. Supplements like spirulina, chlorella, wheatgrass, and blue-green algae are examples of chlorophyll-rich superfoods that offer similar benefits to eating leafy greens, but with much more nutrition packed into a small serving. These supplements assist in the decalcification of the pineal gland due to their strong detoxification properties. Cleaning up the pineal gland and activating your third eye is essential for those wishing to develop their psychic ability and multidimensional perception. By awakening your pineal gland, it brings the ability to explore other dimensions and foresee the future. Here's another one. Raw apple cider is a natural detoxifier and helps decalcify the pineal gland to its malic acid properties. Malic acid is an organic compound that gives fruit their sour taste. When taken as a supplement, it supports the digestive system and helps the body detoxify. Apple cider vinegar has many other health benefits as well. You need to ensure that the brand that you buy is raw and packed in a glass container. So, questions to help raise chakra consciousness. Do you feel that you're stumbling in the dark, not knowing why things are always going wrong in your life? Are you able to find answers to many questions that you might have? What is it that you are stopping yourself from seeing and hearing? What is it that you're afraid of knowing? So if you're serious about wanting to open and activate your third eye, first ask yourself the question, why do I want to awaken your third eye, you know, my third eye? Because you need to set a clear intention. So when we come back, we'll follow on this. It's time for us to take a short break. This is Brenda Blindenbaugh and my co-host, Monique McDonald. And you are listening to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. on Voice America Seventh Wave. Stay tuned.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Have you experienced loss in your life and are still working through the grief? Are you ready to start moving forward and feel better? Brenda Blindenbaugh has created a free audio piece to help you get started on this healing journey. Losing a loved one is devastating and can be profoundly painful. Understand that you don't have to go through your loss alone. Visit WealthyHealers.com to receive the free audio from Brenda entitled Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. That's www.WealthyHealers.com.
Be the change. The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are listening to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. To reach out today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to support@wealthyhealers.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. This is Brenda B. and my co-host, Monique McDonald. And we were talking just before the break, why we needed to set a clear intention on why we wanted to open the third eye chakra. Maybe you want to enhance your intuition and creativity and wisdom. It could be that you want to raise your vibration. Perhaps you want to enhance your psychic abilities. Maybe you want to enhance your ability to heal yourself and heal others. Or maybe you want to have a greater spiritual awareness and insights. So here are some ways to bring your third eye chakra into alignment. Release the energy of the emotions that you're experiencing as they surface up, you know, if they're not making you feel good, by using some form of release technique. The color indigo is associated with the third eye chakra. Gems are purple, appetite, and it stimulates all levels of perception. Sapphire strengthens spiritual awareness and communication. Herkimer diamond enhances all spiritual qualities and gives vitality and encourages joy. Essential oils are blue yarrow, which increases and focuses psychic awareness. Violet and geranium stimulate the chakra, while hyacinth quietens it. Here are some affirmations. It is safe for me to see the truth. I am opening myself to my deepest intuition and knowing. I see and understand the big picture. I trust that a reason beyond my understanding is always at work. I love that one. I have keen insight and intuition. The most potent and direct way to open the third eye is with sacred sound, and it's through activating the pineal, you know, it's you can find pineal gland activations. As we evolve as multidimensional beings, the calcite crystal of the pineal gland acts as receivers of light and information. So here's an exercise that you can do right now. So close your eyes and breathe normally. Lower your chin down towards your chest as if pulled by some weight. While your eyes are closed, look up with the inner eyes towards your third eye area. Simply focus your attention to the third eye area and you will see that you're looking up without having your eyes actually open. Relax your eyes while they are closed. And they are, you know, when they're closed and looking up upwards. Try not to force your eyes to look up. Leave them relaxed. It's actually quite easy. So do this for a couple of minutes at a time. and then take a rest. So if you do this, you know, every day, just for a couple of minutes, that'll help you in a big way to open this pineal gland. Now, here are the benefits of activating the pineal gland. It is said that a person who has achieved pineal gland activation will experience increased psychic awareness and psychic talents. Other benefits of pineal gland activation include telepathy and a greater level of perceptiveness that can go beyond this three-dimensional world. Besides increased psychic awareness, it also acts as a link between the physical world and the spiritual world. There are three crystals in the pineal gland which help with this ability of visionary capacity. The three crystals are apatite, I think that's the way it's pronounced, calcite, and magnetite. Apatite helps with inspiration, spiritual oneness, and psychic enhancement. Calcite is said to have increased prosperity. It clears, opens, and balances all the chakras. Magnetite aids with meditation, visionary purpose, and establishing our experiences in the physical world. Together, all these three crystals create a cosmic antenna which aids the transfer of signals between the different dimensional planes. So, Manik, I'd like your feedback about what, you know, what's been shared right now in today on this call.
Well, a lot of it is, for me, new, as I mentioned, when you started going through the chakras a few weeks ago, and the part about the pineal gland is really interesting, and I just recently started taking Hawaiian blue-green algae, and I felt really, I just felt very guided to get on an algae product, so maybe that's a,
huge start.
That
yes.
My pineal gland
yes.
is needing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you honestly will see a lot of difference. And, of course, a huge thing, Manik, if you're doing it all, is the toothpaste. Because, you know, we're using it every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're using toothpaste, and they all have fluoride, unless you find one which doesn't. Thank you, Manik.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be looking at balancing your crown chakra. The seventh energy center, or the crown chakra, is positioned at the top of the head, at the soft center on a newborn baby's head, and relates to the pineal gland. The Sanskrit name is Sahasrara, which means thousand petal lotus. The color is white or violet. Violet is the highest color in the light spectrum. White is purity and the color of the divine light. The element is cosmic energy or thought, and the mantra is Om. The primary purpose of the crown chakra is to obtain meaning. That meaning gets incorporated into your belief system, and because this is the way you perceive the world to be, you operate from these sets of beliefs. Your beliefs are based on the ideas that you have formed, which you believe to be true. Your beliefs shape your reality, and your reality shapes your beliefs. So, to reprogram your crown chakra, it requires you to examine your belief system, asking yourself questions, and becoming aware of the operating belief system from which you run your life. If you want to develop the crown chakra, it requires that you are open to a higher power and tap into the mystical. This requires the ability to surrender and to trust in the universe. This can only be done by surrendering your need to control your addictive habits and attachments, so that you'll be able to experience the magnificence of who you truly are. It is important to view the chakra system as a complex integrated whole. Energy flows from the crown chakra to the root and back up again. And each chakra works together with the other chakras in the human energy system. An open chakra helps the flow of energy through the centers above and below. If for instance, energy is restricted in the solar plexus chakra, there will be limited energy flowing into the sacral chakra, which is the second chakra, and the heart chakra, which is the fourth chakra. And so it is with all the other chakras. The ultimate goal is to achieve a balance in your energy system through the chakras, connecting with the earth below and the sky above. So some of the symptoms of a dysfunctional seventh chakra are Alzheimer's, depression, dizziness, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, paralysis, Parkinson's disease, schizophrenia, immune system disorders, cancers, and bone disorders. Also, nervous system disorders, learning disorders or difficulties, multiple personality disorders, neurosis, psychosis, headaches, dizziness or lightheadedness, migraines and insomnia. The emotional part of this is lack of self-understanding, lack of direction, major depression. So here are some ways to bring your crown chakra into alignment. As I've said it in all the, all through these episodes, release the energy of the emotions that you're experiencing as they surface up. You know, when they're not serving you, when you're feeling not so good. And use some release techniques, any ones that you know that work for you. Now, the color is violet. Gold and white light are associated with the crown chakra. Very often when we're doing visualization, a guided visualization, you know, you may hear them saying, allow this gold white. Sometimes they say white, but gold light to come through your crown chakra. Now, the gems are amethyst, diamond, selenite, clear quartz, and pearl. Essential oils are lavender, bay laurel, valerian, and lotus. Now, lotus, of course, is a very, very expensive essential oil. Make sure that these are pure essential oils and not fragrances, okay? The fragrances are synthetic, so they won't work. Affirmations are, I acknowledge that the source of love is within me. I am connected to my higher self. I am connected to the higher purpose of money. I am following my divine path. I am open to the goodness and abundance of the universe. So these are some very, very powerful affirmations that you can use. I find affirmations, I use them myself as a reminder all the time of who I am. This is how it serves me all the time. And it's not something that I do just once in a while or just by rote or just as a daily practice. I do this every time that I'm triggered, then I release the trigger and then I remind myself, depending on what it is, and I speak these affirmations. So it's happening over and over again, all the time, continuously. That is how we raise our vibrations. That's how we remind ourselves who we are, so that we're always taking an action from this this new aspect of who we are, from this new vibration, from this higher vibration that we remember. Okay, so this is the reason why we actually speak or say affirmations. Monique, have you felt the power of affirmations?
Mine, I don't know if they would call them an affirmation. For me, I have several daily things that I say. I think of them, kind of like a mantra, but one of them is make me the person I have the capacity to be. I am the greatest expression of who I am, those kinds of things. And they
right.
tend to be, sort of the same ones that I have done for years.
Right. And when you say those mantras, how does it make you feel? What happens to you?
It's like it's like a feeling of peace and connection, of feeling like I through them that I'm inviting all of the abundance of the universe to flow towards me, feeling very, I would say, at peace.
Yes, and as we've seen in one of the episodes, peace has such a huge vibration,
mm-hmm.
huge, even higher than love and even joy. So when you're at peace, you're coming from this very high vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is to come to this place of peace, and then you can not only feel this in your emotions, in your body, but then you can take whatever action you need from this new place of peace. So it's so important to understand this, that ultimately this is what we want, the peace that passes all understanding. We've heard that quote so many times. But that's what it's talking, which means, of course, that no matter what is happening around you, you are at peace. You're in the eye of the storm. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that saying. And it really, for me, it's a feeling of by putting it out there, to me, it affirms I'm not alone and that it connects me to a loving, supportive universe. So when I'm saying those things, make me the greatest expression of who I am, it's not like I'm just saying it back to my own mind. I'm really putting that out there, the universe at large, so that anything that can occur that will move me in the direction of that I'm open to it.
Yes. And the whole thing is, for me, Monique, it helps me to really, really see, my own conscious mind cannot see a lot of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just reminding me that all these not only possibilities but probabilities are there. Miracles are there. And that I'm just open to these miracles to come into my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the third and the seventh chakra is all about, is when you're in tune with your higher self, with the universe. And this is something that is happening on and on and on, ongoing in your life. It's all the time. It's not mm-hmm. once in a while. And it's not just when things are not going right, because that's what happens very often, doesn't it?
Right.
When things are not going right, then we, and that's okay. That's okay. But it becomes foundational when you use this, when things are going right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when things are not going right, it's easy. There's a saying, and I'm just quoting, not actually quoting it, but you can build a house when there's a storm brewing, when there's a storm. This is something that we need to do really on a regular basis when everything is working good.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I found for me, I had to choose affirmations that were that I could believe. You know, when I was having really terrible days, to be saying, oh, I love my life and I'm happy, it just didn't work for me. But to be able to say, you know what, this storm will end and I will get through this and I can rise above this, and that felt more believable to me, as opposed to, you know, just kind of putting out affirmations that were not in alignment with where, you know, with what I was believing.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up. I might talk about that a little bit more when we come from our break.
Okay.
So we need to take another break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Have you experienced loss in your life and are still working through the grief? Are you ready to start moving forward and feel better? Brenda Blindenbaugh has created a free audio piece to help you get started on this healing journey. Losing a loved one is devastating and can be profoundly painful. Understand that you don't have to go through your loss alone. Visit wealthyhealers.com to receive the free audio from Brenda entitled Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. That's www.wealthyhealers.com.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are listening to Healing from Loss with Brenda B. To reach out today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to support@wealthyhealers.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back. This is Brenda B. and my co-host, Monique McDonald. And before the break, we were talking about affirmations, and I believe that this is one of the prime reasons affirmations don't work, is because when we are in a state of stress, or when things are, when we're being triggered, and we say affirmations from this place, when we haven't really released what is keeping us in this low vibrations, those affirmations, that's not the time to say the affirmations when you're in that place of stress or trigger. Release it. Come to a place where you're feeling peace, where you're feeling good, and then from that place, say the affirmations. And Monique brought a very good point. Say the affirmations that mean something to you. You know, that you are. And if you're doing this all the time, there are so many affirmations that you can align yourself with and say them, you know, from this place of higher consciousness, higher vibration. So that's what you meant, didn't you, Monique?
Yeah, for sure. That it has to be a slightly higher vibration than where I'm at.
Yes, just a little bit.
That's right.
Because you know you're climbing up the emotional ladder.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, wherever you, because you can't take a leap from say the bottom of the ladder, and if the ladder is 12 feet in one jump, you have to make little steps to go up there. So that it is. So as long as you're feeling better than what you are and coming from that place. Wonderful. Thank you, Monique. So I want to, again, end this show by talking about consciousness again. Everything starts in your consciousness. Your body is the mirror of your life. Everything that happens in your life and in your body begins with something happening in your consciousness. You are a being of energy. A change of consciousness creates a change in the energy field. And a change in the energy field happens before a change can take place in the physical body. any manifestation happens from consciousness through the energy field to the physical body. When we look at things in this way, we see that it is not our physical body creating the energy field, but rather the energy field that is creating the physical body. What we see as the physical body is the end result of a process that begins with the consciousness. When someone makes a decision that leaves them with stress, this creates a blockage in the energy field, which creates a symptom on the physical level. The symptom speaks a certain language, which reflects the idea that we each create our own reality. We must understand that there are no accidents and no coincidences. Things really happen according to a pattern and order. We have a built-in guidance system, a connection to our higher self or our inner being. This inner guidance system functions through what we call our intuition. It speaks a very simple language. Either it feels good or it doesn't. We are told we should move with what feels good and not to do what doesn't feel good to us. We are told to trust this inner voice. When we don't follow this inner voice, we feel tension. We feel not so good. When someone makes a decision that is not a good idea, that makes them not feel good, the tension grows. The more they feel not so good, the more they keep themselves from expressing what they want and not having it. Eventually, something happens to create a symptom on the physical level. It could happen through a car accident, a pinched nerve, a rash, a fractured leg, and so on. In the early 80s, here in the West, we were introduced in the alternative field of medicine to the therapies to do with mind-body connection. That was a huge breakthrough, because until then, we didn't make the connection between the mind and the body. In other words, applying the fact that all thoughts and feelings get translated into chemicals that run our entire physiology, and how understanding the mind-body relationship adds an essential and often overlooked component to the healing process. Monique, as a nurse, have you seen the integration between mind and body being used in mainstream medicine?
Yes, and actually many, many years ago, even in the 1980s, I remember a pilot project at the hospital where they had nurses who were trained in doing the, I don't know what they called it back then, like not hands-on healing, but it was, you know, like energy work where now, I mean, now they refer a lot to it as Reiki, but it was a specific practice that became popular in the 80s. And so they had a pilot project where nurses were encouraged to do that kind of work with patients that were open to it. And also when I worked in the intensive care unit, I saw some absolutely amazing, miraculous things happen in terms of mind-body healing. And so I think it's becoming more and more prominent. It isn't maybe talked about as much, but it is definitely there, because many nurses who go into that field are really have that healing gift and have a desire to want to do that kind of work.
Mm-hmm. So I think what you were talking about was called healing touch.
That's it, healing touch. That was it.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was a pilot project, and it went really well. So it became a service that was offered in the hospital.
Great, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yes. So they are now, I think, calling it integrated medicine or something
right.
like that, doesn't
That's
it?
Right.
It sort of has a wing,
and it's integrated medicine. Yeah.
Right. Right. And that is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They are also bringing in some hospitals. I'm not sure about it here in Canada, but definitely in the States, they're even bringing in EFT, especially working with children. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, yeah. And when I worked in palliative care, Brenda, the patients and families there had access to all of that. Many of the volunteers who came in were people who had healing gifts, and that's what they would offer to the patients or to the families or even to the staff. So in that area, like in the palliative care unit, it was really very accessible to everybody. It's not necessarily at all what you would see in the emergency room, you know.
No, no.
But depending on the area in the hospital, people are opening up to that more and more.
Absolutely. And it's so wonderful because this is one end, you know, of the healing spectrum that we haven't used for a long time. So we need to be open to all the possibilities. Why not use them all, right? Yes. So something had to happen on the physical level to create the symptom in order to give the person the message on the physical level about what they had been doing to themselves. So, you know, since it everything begins with consciousness, when we get it on the physical level, then hopefully it'll start us to think, uh-oh, what have we been thinking? Beginning, you know, that's where it starts. We do to ourselves literally what we have been doing to ourselves figuratively or, on a subconscious level or energetically. The chakras are another way to understand the map of consciousness that the body represents. And in the Hindu tradition, they have been studying consciousness for thousands of years. Each of the seven chakras is associated with one of the seven endocrine glands and also with a particular group of nerves called the plexus. Each chakra is associated with particular parts of the body and particular functions within the body controlled by that plexus or that group of nerves or that endocrine gland associated with that chakra. All of your senses, perceptions, and states of awareness can be divided into seven categories, and each of these categories can be associated with a particular chakra. Thus, the chakra represents not only particular parts of your physical body, but also particular parts of your consciousness. When you feel tension in your consciousness, you feel it in the chakra associated with that part of your consciousness experiencing the stress, and in the parts of the physical body associated with that chakra. When you feel the stress depends, therefore, on why you feel the stress. When someone is hurt in a relationship, they feel it in their heart. I'm not saying physical heart, but you know, we always say, you know, he's heartbroken. I mean, we know that there's a connection there. When someone is nervous, their legs tremble. Their bladder becomes weak. Or they get butterflies in their stomach. See the connection? When there is tension in a particular part of your consciousness, and, you know, therefore in the chakra associated with that part of your consciousness, the tension is detected by the nerves of the plexus associated with that chakra and communicated to the parts of the body controlled by that plexus. When the tension continues over a period of time or reaches a particular degree of intensity, the person creates a symptom on the physical level. So the symptom serves to communicate to the person through their body what they have been doing to themselves in their consciousness. When the person changes something about their way of being, they are able to release the stress that had been creating the symptom. And then they are able to return to their natural state of balance and health. If our consciousness is directing how we develop symptoms, it can also direct how we release these same symptoms. If our consciousness can make our body ill, our consciousness can also make our body well. The logical conclusion of this process is that anything can be healed. So, Monique, I would just like to you know, we have about 3 minutes or so. Do you have anything to add to this, Monique?
No, not really, Brenda. I think, you know, it's, you've done such a beautiful job of, you know, weaving it all together, and it's helped to make a lot of sense for me, and I'm sure for the listeners, in terms of little pieces of it that I've glimpsed, and now by understanding how it's all connected through the chakra system and how that all connects to mind, body, and consciousness is, you know, it just really helps to help it all make sense for me.
Oh, thank you, Monique. I know this has been a lot of content, but the reason is, of course, you know, you don't listen to something just once.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, you know, go over this material over and over again. I mean, I do. I'm always listening to something, and then something becomes clearer, or I get another awareness, you know, that I didn't have maybe when I heard it for the first or the second or the third time. And the other thing that happens is once you listen to not just these tapes, but anything, once you have a greater awareness, now you're coming from a different awareness. And so you're seeing different things that you didn't see before. So this is why I would encourage people to listen to these tapes over and over again, take notes, and then, of course, put it into practice. Even one little thing that you have learned, and just do it over and over again. So I have enjoyed so much doing these 13 shows. This is the last one, Monique.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that.
This is our last one. So I really... I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Monique, for co-hosting the show with me. It's been such a pleasure and a delight working with you. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you,
Monique.
Brenda. And I think the greatest thing I've learned is really to honor and listen to my body and listen to how, you know, our bodies know, right? And our hearts know and our intuition know how to guide us. And that's become so evident in learning from you of if I feel compelled to fill my house with the color orange, there's a reason for it. And I may not know why, but I do it. And then by listening to you, I go, oh, that makes total sense. That's where I was at that time, and that's the color I needed. And I love that. I didn't understand any of this. I just kind of followed where I was guided, and now it makes sense.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Yeah, our intuition, we just need to listen to it. That's it. Just trust it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to understand it at all. Just, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda.
So a big thank you to our listeners for being on these calls. If these calls have helped you, please share this with your friends. Just a quick reminder to visit www.wealthyhealers.com to receive the free audio on Transform Your Life by Healing Grief and Loss. You can also find me on Facebook at www.wealthyhealers.com/FB. And my Twitter handle is www.wealthyhealers.com/Twitter. This is Brenda Blindenbaugh and Monique McDonald sending you abundant blessings.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Please join your host Brenda Blindenbaugh and co-host Monique McDonald for another edition of Healing from Loss with Brenda B. next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. We'll talk next week.